This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
Well, it's time now for our weekly catch-up with RNIB Chief Executive Matt Stringer. Matt, Croeso nol, it's good to have you back.
Good afternoon, Al. Nice to see you.
And we're starting with an event at the Houses of Parliament this week as MPs got the chance to learn more about the everyday challenges people with sight loss face on a day-to-day basis. And it sounds like a big success with interest from parties across the benches.
Yeah, no, I mean, as we sort of commented on many times, listeners would know, you know, the effort that goes into maintaining our sort of parliamentary relationships and influence is a big part of our policy team's work. And we held a parliamentary reception on Monday afternoon in Portcullis House, which is the office block just across from Parliament, where many MPs have their offices and there's lots of sort of committee rooms. There's a big meeting space there. So we held a 3 or 4 hour session where MPs could drop in and engage with us, 8 or 9 different stands on a variety of sort of things that we wanted to talk to them about, whether that's around using accessible software, you know, the whole issue around accessible voting. You know, we had conversations with MPs on things like pavement parking. So a lot of stuff, employment, you know, a lot of things that we're working on, we were able to talk to various MPs about. Stephen Timms, you know, the Labour sort of junior minister, you know, working in the DWP was there and very kindly said a few words along with our chair, Anna Tyler. And, you know, we had great engagement from, as you said, MPs across the divide, which is really important because clearly our issues are sort of apolitical and we need to make sure we've got good cross-party interest so that, you know, visual impairment and issues around eye health can be raised through parliamentary questions, through contributions at select committees, in debates. All of which, you know, is well lubricated by events like Monday, and it went really well. You know, we've seen, you know, the benefit. I've seen something today. We've just put out on social media whereby one of the MPs there on Monday asked a question in the House of Lucy Powell, you know, one of the government ministers, on accessible voting actually, and about the challenges. And Lucy Powell's response was, "It would be great to pick it up at a debate next week that the sort of Levelling Up department are hosting in Parliament." So, you know, we can see that work we put in to engage MPs has benefit when it comes to, you know, our issues being raised within a sort of parliamentary process. We saw recently, I think back a bit in the sort of late summer, some research that showed how all the work we're putting in a parliamentary sense, you know, through the party conferences and what we do locally with MPs in their constituencies, you know, has raised the profile of the RNIB, you know, from probably being in the pack of charities a few years ago, now to being in the sort of top 4 out of the sort of 28 big charities, along with people like Guide Dogs and, you know, the RSPCA and some of the cancer charities. So, you know, all that work pays off to get noticed, and it should and is bearing fruit in terms of being able to influence a sort of parliamentary process on matters that are really important to blind and partially sighted people up and down the country.
We're moving on to another fantastic occasion that took place this week, the RNIB Braille 200 Championing Tactile Literacy event, which took place in the British Library in London.
Yeah, I sadly missed this because I was feeling a bit ill on the night, but this was one I would have paid for a ticket as a punter. It was a great event that we hosted with the British Library, and it's really important that we have relations with some of these big sort of, you know, academic or national institutions. And the British Library is critical because they have a whole ton of, you know, as their name suggests, a whole ton of literature in different formats, you know, some of which is in our space. And they were the very logical partner to host an event to celebrate, you know, the 200th anniversary of Braille starting in 1824. And at the time, it was the accessible technology of its day. It was designed clearly to bring literature and communications and news, you know, to visually impaired people. And there were many different there were 2 or 3 different sort of options at the time that could have won out. And ultimately, Braille was the method that won out through the sort of 19th century. And as I'm sure the listeners would know, the RNIB was founded in 1868 as, you know, the National Society to Promote Embossed Literature, which was really another name for Braille at the time. So we've been heavily involved in Braille since our inception 155 years ago, even though we were late comers to the Braille party because Braille had been going for 200 years, hence the event on Tuesday evening, which was a brilliant event where we took along a lot of our archive that talk to our heritage in Braille, a lot of Braille manuscripts, a lot of Brailing machines, cups for trophies. As you know, our archive is very rich around Braille, and the British Library brought some of their treasures out as well, some of their Braille literature, you know, which is fabulous. So, I mean, probably, you know, almost world-leading exhibition actually on the night of Braille sort of material and artifacts. And that was just the backdrop to a really well-attended event. Over 200 people there turned up, who were a lot of vision impaired people, who were Braille users, clearly others. And Dave Williams from the RNIB hosted a really positive panel discussion, which even I wasn't there, I know was a very dynamic event with people, with David Blunkett at one end of the spectrum, who must be nudging 80 now. David is obviously one of our vice presidents and still a very avid user of Braille. You know, down to one of them, they had an 11-year-old there representing the new generation coming through, and there was a very lively exchange of, you know, sort of perspectives on Braille from the panel, which Dave brilliantly hosted. So really energising night, great to showcase the medium of Braille. It's just part of a year's worth of sort of programmes that we're putting on about supporting Braille, Braille 200. So there'll be other things we will do through social media, other events we'll hold over the course of the next 9 months or so. And great to kick it off in great style at the British Library on Tuesday evening.
And RNIB, of course, have been involved in the ongoing COVID inquiry, with the closing remarks coming this week.
Yeah, well, this module has been really important for us. The DCC, the Disability Charity Consortium, which is about 10 charities in which we sit, which are the big national charities supporting disabled people. And we have been making various representations to the inquiry, particularly in this module, which is looking at the sort of response to COVID. And I you know, appeared as a witness representing the DCC earlier in October. And there's been lots of other witnesses appearing, representing different parties involved in this, including government ministers. Matt Hancock was there, you know, the devolved nations first ministers, people like Chris Whitty and other people who were leading the sort of health response, you know, through COVID. And all those witnesses, you know, have finished now their submissions. And it was the barristers who we have working for us who basically provided our closing remarks this week. So our barrister, who's a guy called Jamie Burton, KC, had 20 minutes yesterday to sum up our point, and he was basically managing to sort of synthesize the points that I had made, and Jackie O'Sullivan, particularly, who is the sort of deputy CEO of MenCap. She also appeared as a witness a couple of weeks after I did, but being able to synthesize the points we were making proactively, and cross-referencing with what other witnesses had said to corroborate the points we were making, you know, to really try and ram home the sort of main submissions that we wanted to make to the inquiry. And Jamie did that yesterday, you know, particularly focusing on accessible information, focusing on not making decisions in any future pandemic without first considering the voices of disabled people, and ending up at the end talking about, you know, the real omission we still have as a country in not really understanding the data and understanding really you were more likely to die from COVID if you were a disabled person in the UK than not, and really understanding why that was. And that's still a very, very big gap in our national knowledge, which was a point we made as witnesses. And Jamie sort of rammed home yesterday with the support of other witnesses who'd made a similar point subsequent to our submission. So very powerful closing statement of about 20 minutes yesterday. And we wait to see in the new year, you know, what the recommendations of the inquiry will be on this module, and hopefully on the recommendations we have made through the couple of three months or so that the module has been open.
Well, there's no getting away from it now, Matt. Christmas is well and truly on its way. And another deadline looms on Monday, which is the last day to get involved with the Letters to Santa programme from RIB.
Yeah, as we've just been discussing how we can't quite believe it's December the 1st. On Sunday, we're already into Christmas month almost. Yeah, and as we said last week, you know, we run this great programme, Letters to Santa, where if you get in touch with the busy elves in Peterborough, they will turn around a letter for children in whatever format, accessible format, they would like from Santa. You know, we can do all formats relevant for visually impaired children. It's been a really well-received, loved service actually over the last few years. You know, it's great we continue to do it. We need parents and carers to get their submissions, their requests to us before Monday, because the elves need a bit of time to turn them round before Christmas to make sure they get there in good time. So please go and look on our website, on our social media. You'll find all you need. It's basically a simple form to submit to the RNIB, and we'll make sure the elves at Peterborough turn that round for you by Christmas if you submit by Monday.
Well, of course, the helpline is still available for any questions you might have about RNIB services or information. You can call 0303 123 9999. Matt Stringer, Chief Executive of RNIB, Diakon Varionicki, thanks again for your time this week. Always great to catch up. And thanks for speaking to us on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, cheers, Hal. Nice to speak to you in a busy week with lots of interesting things going on at the RNIB and important things that we're involved in. So great to speak to you about it. Thank you.